This episode is sponsored by LaFawn Magazine. Go to lafawnmagazine.com and get issue number 6. And we're also sponsored by Crickets. No, just kidding. You'll hear the crickets in the background. I apologize.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
You are listening to the Secret Transmission Podcast, discussing conspiracies, paranormal, and the strange.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer. I am your host, Toby, and alongside me are my co-hosts. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Rudy.
Tyler.
Kristen.
And today we are going to be talking about Jeffrey Dahmer and his...
I don't even want to cheer or applaud that. Normally I'm like, yay!
I was going to be like the magical adventure of Jeffrey Dahmer, but like even
that's fucked up.
That's terrible.
It's somebody's magical adventure, just not anyone sane.
It's a really terrible case, and we're going to cover it.
Terribly,
and
probably.
Honestly, don't listen to this episode with children. If you happen to be one of the psychos that listens to this show with your children around, this is one that's not going to be very good. Because we're going to talk about penises and
body parts,
disembowelment, and
we'll probably
rape.
Cuss a lot. Yeah,
yeah, it's going to get
molestation.
It covers everything on the adult.
And I'd really forgotten about a lot of the details of this because I think I was very young whenever it was actually going down. So
yeah, I guess we would have been, me and Kristen would have been three
years old.
Uh-huh. 91. What, you were born in 91, right, Tyler?
93.
Oh.
Yeah, younger than that.
I don't know why I was thinking 91.
He was a thought.
Wasn't even a thought. Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Before Tyler's born.
Oh, yeah?
We've made that joke before.
A twit.
Okay, so Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on May 21st, 1960.
Right. That explains a little bit of it.
Well, okay.
I have family from Wisconsin, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the 60s.
Well, okay, that too. No, but I'm talking about the area.
Thank you for
cutting
off our Wisconsin listeners.
All four of them. I apologize.
He was the first child of Joyce and Lionel Dahmer right before their first anniversary. Jeffrey's father, Lionel, went to school to get a degree in chemistry and finished with a PhD. His father described Jeffrey as being a normal kid, which don't they all kind of seem normal?
Like a normal kid for a dad named Lionel.
You're cutting off our Lionel listeners. Every episode lately, it seems like y'all have to cut at some group out.
Lionel only belongs in one place, and that's within Charlie Brown.
And Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin.
Yep.
So apparently, you know, Jeffrey was just like any other normal kid. He liked to wrestle, play with the other kids, and he was very outgoing, is how his father describes him. He loved animals. When he was 4 years old, Jeffrey watched his dad go under the house and clean, there was some, dead animals or something, and his dad was cleaning them out, and apparently Jeffrey was very curious as a kid, and I guess he just tried to explore new things, but all these bones of the animals really piqued Jeffrey's interest. Here's a little clip.
I brought them out, put them in a metal pail just to collect them all in one place, and they dropped in with sort of a clanking noise, and Jeff seemed kind of interested in that noise, and he took a hold and let them drop down in too. You know, in retrospect, everything looks grim and dark and sinister. You know, could that be the start of something evil? Well, I have to admit, it's simply just the curiosity of a child.
curiosity within a child.
Yeah. Jeffrey apparently liked to hear the bones drop into the middle.
No one likes that kind of stuff.
But being around kids, you do realize, though, that kids like noises sometimes. Some kids like loud noises. If it made a noise,
so. I can see what you're saying.
I can, at 4 years
in
old.
In developmental stages.
Right. How many times do you see kids running around just banging on shit because
it makes a noise?
It's making a noise.
Getting a stick and running it over a fence where it's clack, 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 clack.
Yeah. I mean, so I really don't buy into that being a darker thing. It was just, maybe it was kind of morbid because it was bones into a bucket.
This is what I've always said, though. Remember, it's always so funny when people retrospectively.
Yes.
Start making things seem like, oh, well, he did this one time.
Right.
And
right.
I've always make that connection because it's always weird.
Like when Kristen kills you, finally. we can all sit back and go.
The bones hitting the pail.
We can all sit back and go, well, there was that one time she preferred that one movie with the blood in it as opposed to the kids' movie.
She liked horror movies.
Gacy. Right. I'm a big Gacy fan.
All her chickens disappeared mysteriously for no reason.
She did talk about eating cereal out of that skull bowl. My only thing is, so while they were taking all the dead animals, and this is just a parental's perspective, did they have a live pet on the area?
I don't think so.
Not yet, anyways. Because if you have a live pet, you can kind of say, okay, now, Jeffrey, this is what happens when your pet dies, and there's something to,
compare.
Yeah, and kind of teach on. Versus all he sees is
dead animals, right?
Then, I mean, it's
what's
gonna,
that? Yeah.
He has nothing else to go off of.
So another source says that his father took him to the beach, even though his father just read, was in that clip. That was his father, by the way. It says that his father took him to the beach and Jeffrey found a dead crab. He examined it and, became very curious with it and death. And apparently, I guess, cut it open and looked at the inside, and that's another sign that he was going to be fucked up.
Kid likes anatomy.
that's really what it is.
That's not necessarily because, you have people who are funeral directors and they're morticians, and that's what they do on a daily living. It doesn't mean that they actually, find something within it, and that's not like they get a high off of it like he did.
Spoiler alert, I'm glad he didn't become a mortician. That would have been terrible.
Right.
Holy
shit. I mean, there is a fine line, I guess. It's whether or not that your brain wants to separate it or not.
Yeah. Okay, look at it this way, too. Why would you let your kid play with anything dead?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I would have been like, get your hands off that. That's nasty.
Right.
You try to shield him. But, I guess if he's trying to teach him the manly ways of the house, and that's one of the manly things in the house you have to do, is to pull the dead animals out from underneath it, and that becomes a chore, then I could understand
why he's doing it. That's like 65. That is a completely...
Yeah, it is the 60s.
I mean, you test it, and you don't realize what kind of destruction you're doing while you're doing it.
Yeah, you couldn't pull up to the side of the road and let your kid play with dead roadkill these days.
No.
Lord,
I tried.
But there are people out there that do pick up roadkill for a living, and maybe they have their kids ride along with them, and they pick up. It's just got to be a trigger in the brain. That's all it is. It's a psychological issue.
We'll try to figure it out here in a little while. So
we're still in the early stages.
We're not even. That was my arm.
Uh-huh.
On the couch.
Your arm. Yeah.
I heard it too, and I was like, I hope they didn't pick up. That
someone
was...
farted.
Uh-huh. Toby's arm farted just now.
So Jeffrey moved several times due to his father's job. They ended up in a 2-acre wooded lot in Bath, Ohio. It's about an hour drive south from Cleveland. This is when Jeffrey had a bit of change in personality. Apparently, he started becoming shy.
Yeah, all of a sudden. became real introverted for some reason.
Well, no, there's a reason why.
The move?
No. How old was he?
7.
He had a surgery.
Oh, did he?
You didn't know that? Okay, so when he was 4, he had a surgery, and that is what they're saying that turned him into being a completely different person.
What surgery, though?
Yeah, I didn't.
So I looked it up, and they said that the surgery that he had was that he was getting rid of, not hemorrhoids, but what is it like whenever you have like
ulcers?
No, like a spot where it pops out above your belly button. What do they call it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but he had a surgery, though?
Yeah, so he had a surgery, and they said that they removed 2 of these hernias.
Okay.
2 hernias, and after that, then that's when he completely changed into a different person. They could tell a spike in his attitude and change.
That's weird. I don't remember coming across any
of
that.
I never read that either.
Yeah, that's odd.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that I was thinking of is back then in that era, that was what, like 70s or 60s?
It'd have been about 67. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're thinking of early, like, technology, and they're removing these hernias.
Think they may have fucked something up.
What are they removing?
Well,
what? Yeah.
Anesthesia also.
I mean, anything.
Maybe it changed something in them. I don't know. Who knows?
So they said that that's what, I mean, I can find it if you want me to.
Oh, no, it's no big deal.
Yeah, so that, they said he had that surgery when he was about 4 years old, and that's what changed his, like, attitude and mindset.
That is an interesting thing, though. I don't remember that.
Well, to help with, like, his shyness and everything, his family bought him a dog named Frisky. His dad even said he did seem to be awkward socially and just didn't feel comfortable. He would try to encourage him to participate in activities where he would be in contact with more kids. To help Jeffrey feel more involved, they let him pick the name for his brother. He picked David. If I would have got to pick your name, Tyler, I'd have made your name Asshole.
Oh, yeah? You know how to spell that whenever I was born.
So, on weekends, he and his father would plant gardens and raise sheep in competition in 4-H, for the 4-H fairs. When Jeffrey was 10, his mother was hospitalized and treated for anxiety. And I guess this is about the time where they really started having marital issues. So that's to note, because that comes up later in any serial killer's story, it seems like. So now Jeffrey's a little bit older. I'm not sure in this little story if he was able to drive, or if he was riding a bike, or if he was just walking around. But apparently he would take trash bags and go up and down the streets and look for roadkill. He would take the roadkill into the backyard at his house and go into the woods and would dissect them.
All I know is that I wanted to see what the insides of these animals looked like. There may have been some violence involved, some underlying subconscious feelings of violence. It was a compulsion. It became a compulsion.
So he had a weird compulsion for violence.
I have a feeling this dog ain't going to live long.
I'm going to go ahead and spoil it for all the dog lovers out there. The dog, from what I can tell, makes it. And it's
what?
Fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's no what way. I heard, too. I was about to say. Yeah.
But I put that in there because I'm trying to paint a picture of his childhood. Like, it wasn't a terrible childhood from what it sounds like.
It was way better than, what's it, John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah, like, this, there's a lot of positive role models in his life. Like, his father is a PhD, has a PhD in chemistry. His father's trying to get him involved in, what is it called, 4-H?
4-H, yeah.
Like, it's not like he had an alcoholic father that beat him or anything. It seems, this is just the bare research. I didn't live with the guy, but it seems like it's not a terrible life.
Right.
So he's more like one of those serial killers that just one day just snapped and then just...
That's why this case is interesting to me, because it's not like Gacy. You could almost see, like,
you could see the progression as went on.
But his progression is all his own psyche, like his own psychological mind is getting crazier and crazier for murder.
Well, they brought something up interesting about when he was doing these dissection on these animals, and he was, what, about 14?
Yeah, he was in about ninth grade.
Right, so puberty's kicking in. Hormones are acting weird. So they tried to equate the dissecting of the animals with puberty to why he later on would do the things he did, was because it turned him on, because he was going through all that stuff at the time he was dissecting these animals and all this weird shit was going on. Whereas, you know, most normal boys are like looking at girls going, ooh, you know, boom, hormones. So, you know, we like girls. He's dissecting animals instead of looking at girls.
Right. See, in ninth grade, they had to dissect a pig in biology class. Apparently he took some of the remains home with him to keep.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
You kind of like jarred this up or...
Well, and yeah, I don't know what he did with it, but I know he kept some of it. When he was about 14 or 15, I guess that's when he started realizing, like, he wanted to kill someone. Like, he started having his fantasies about killing someone.
I really have become convinced that that was sort of the starting point in this downward spiral of his. And it was associated with his puberty. And when you have hormones kicking into this terrible mixture, what he's doing. He's investigating insides of animals. And his sexuality was developing at the same time.
So just like you said.
Right.
Like,
no, okay, now that was his father talking, though,
yeah, that
right?
was his father.
See, I want to see like a psychologist transcript or something saying that that's could possibly be the thing. Because that's just speculation at that point,
right,
too, though.
I guess this is also, like he was kind of saying, like, this is kind of when he started figuring out his sexual attraction to men. And, you know, he really couldn't tell his father. And just like a lot of men out there, they feel like, or any male or female, feel like they can't come clean to their family about their sexual preferences.
Because even back then, there was still this... actually, especially in the 60s and 70s, there was a stigma for gayness.
I feel like today's times is better than it was. Definitely way better than the 60s. Right. I don't know, because I, you know...
Right.
Even though it was back then, it was just more secretive.
Well, look at Gacy's, too, though. He had fascinations for it, and he couldn't tell anyone right. because of the same thing. Because back
his
then...
His dad would get pissed.
Yeah, and his dad was an alcoholic, too, so...
So, I guess he didn't think anyone would understand. Plus, you know, how do you also go about telling someone your fantasies that you want to kill someone and not seem crazy?
Right.
So, you can't tell someone that you're homosexual. You can't tell someone that you fantasize about murdering someone.
Especially back then, they would have just locked you up.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people back then, they used to send them to homes, like, for all boys or all girls, and then they would be stuck there forever, and, like, their family wouldn't come visit them because they'd be ashamed to come visit them.
Right.
Because then you have to explain to your other family, like, why are you visiting this person? They should be outcasted.
But I have a feeling, though, this family would be a little more understanding of it because they seem pretty legit.
They seem
though.
Nice.
You know, they seem okay.
Yeah, but when did those documents come out that he's okay about it? After he's made a killing off of it? Or...
What do you mean?
Like the father?
Yeah, when did he record that after everybody knew how popular it was and everybody was like a complete craze about Dahmer and then he ended up making money off of it? Or is that how he is all along?
Yeah,
because
I
money,
see,
like, money
yeah,
plays,
she,
money
she,
plays
is he
a
being,
role in it.
Is he being cooler and like more understanding now that his son is like it's open? Because would he
is
look
nationwide?
Would he
like,
look like
popular?
Would he look terrible if he was like no fuck him?
Okay, well I'm gonna jump the shark here on purpose because there is a clip where he's in the middle of his killing spree and he's over on the house like on a vacation visiting his family and everything's cool. They're all cool with each
oh,
other.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
That's
yeah.
another thing. Like, and how is he able to get away with it? Are they that dumbfounded?
No. How he plays it, he's so cool and calm about everything. Nothing. You
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, nobody wonders why he's gone for that long. Like, I mean, this is the most disconnected family you ever saw then.
No, he lived in a different area though.
Yeah, he lived in a different town.
Yeah, he lived in a different town. He
well,
wasn't
I'm
going to
jump
near.
The shark, and I know he did a lot of things in his grandma's basement. And it's like,
well, we'll get there.
I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, like, is she just like, oh, that noise? There's that noise.
Yeah,
again.
I got a lot of questions. When we get there, we got a lot to talk about that.
Yeah.
So I think you were saying this a second ago that his sexuality started becoming mixed with the killing.
Uh huh.
Here's a small clip.
And the dissecting. Also,
yeah.
Not
I mean, he never, dissect in school, though, too.
Well, okay, he never actually, from what I understood, he never actually killed any of the animals. He found them dead
yeah,
already.
Yeah. That's what I always found, too.
Right.
Started having obsessive thoughts of violence intermingled with sex. And it just got worse and worse. I didn't know how to tell anyone about it, so I didn't.
So yeah, that's just him like kind of admitting what right. we've been talking about.
Right.
So he was finally able to make his fantasy become a reality at one point. He set a plan out to knock a jogger out with a baseball bat. One day, I guess, he was ready to go and he was behind a bush or whatever and that jogger never came. So,
he was 16-ish too, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
yeah.
So he gave up on that plan and he didn't ever try to go for this guy that he was ready to knock out and do what... have his way with. I don't know exactly what his plans were.
His plans, if I remember correctly, all he wanted to do was knock him out and then just like lay next to his body.
Naked.
Right.
Yeah. It was something weird like that, but I don't know if there's more to it.
Well, according to him at the time, he didn't want to kill anyone. He just wanted to lay next to a essentially lifeless body
yeah.
without actually killing him.
Apparently, you know, he's depressed because he's struggling with his sexuality, the fantasies. He starts drinking very heavily.
Uh-huh.
Makes you wonder what his home life is about. Like, are they, like, pushing him off into a corner, or...
Well, I feel like his dad was very active with him, you know?
If anything, he was self-isolating.
Yeah.
At this point.
Oh, okay, doing it to himself.
But see, right. it's hard to tell because he started becoming,
making
like...
making it a fantasy in his own head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He started becoming, like, the class clown. So, like, he would do stupid pranks. Like, there was just so many stupid pranks. But he was such a... But he also kept to himself is what... Like, everyone on all the documentaries I watched, all his old classmates were like, well, we didn't really hang out with him, but everyone knew him, and he was funny. He didn't have any, like, best friends or anything.
Right.
One time, they were... I guess they went to a trip to Washington, and he was smooth enough to, because I guess the newspaper, the school paper was with him. He was smooth enough to call and say, hey, we'd like to interview the vice president. And I guess it was Vice President Walter Mondale. He got his class in because he was that smooth of a talker, which comes into play a lot later.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Right. So he's smooth. He keeps his secret very well hidden. It's hard to really tell.
Even though he's introverted, and even though he's kind of a cut up and class clown, the dude was smooth enough to get an interview with the vice president at the time. He called the office. Hey, we're a class out of like Ohio. We want to talk to the president. It'd be really cool. He swooned him into letting him do this whole thing. And if you remember, Gacy was the same way.
Yeah, Gacy was smooth.
Yeah, I remember
Gacy was
that.
Smooth.
And this
and had a problem with alcohol.
This is why.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. This is why I can never be a true serial killer. I'm not that smooth. I can't pull that off.
I'll never
I'm halfway
be
a... there.
Well, see, and he was also very polite. He dressed very nice. Uh-huh. He had decent grades, but I guess at one point, just like any teenager,
once he started drinking.
Right. And a lot of people were saying, like, if he applied himself, he'd make straight A's, which that's any freaking kid. Right. I don't care. I don't like when people say that. Yeah, I could have made straight A's, but right. I chose to be a fuckhead. So, again, he graduated with no real friends. He kept to himself. And this is when things took a turn for Jeffrey. His parents finally got a divorce. His father moved to a motel down the road. And I'm confused on this, but his mother and his younger brother went on a trip or something, but for whatever reason, they were not at the house.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey had the house to himself. A few weeks after graduation, Jeffrey met a hitchhiker named Stephen Hicks, who was 18.
Hitchhiker Hicks.
Uh-huh.
I was 18 years old, driving home. I saw this hitchhiker about a mile from my house. And he caught my eye. I drove past him, thought to myself, should I stop and pick him up or should I just keep on going? I wish I just kept on going, but I didn't. I turned around, picked him up, and that's when the nightmare became a reality. It just seemed so bizarre to me that this obsession that I had been thinking about and wanting, just all the parts are there, and they make it possible to make it happen just at the time when it could happen, when there's nobody at the house for 2 weeks.
So he invited Hitchhiker Hicks.
Thanks, Kristen.
Hashtag Hitchhiker Hicks.
Leave it to you to create a hashtag on such a gruesome event.
He invited him back to the house.
Sorry.
The cat is molesting Tyler and bumping the microphone.
Meow.
God dang it.
Tom, get down.
Come here, Tom. Stop. Come here, Tom. Stop. Come here, buddy.
He's going to rape everyone's microphones.
Look at all that hair.
So apparently they hung out for a few hours, but then Hicks said he needed to leave. This is when Jeffrey attacked him with a barbell and strangled him. You know what? I just realized.
So what kind of barbell? What are we talking about here?
Like,
we're talking
like
about
like a workout,
barbell?
Like a workout
or
one.
The long one.
Probably just
when I was reading that,
I mean,
I was
a metal
like...
rod of any kind is going to could kill you.
Yeah, at this point the type of barbell is kind of moot.
Hey, I want you specifically, cuz you'll remember this, Rudy. Remember the barbell by the end of the story.
Okay. I know where you're
full
going.
Circle,
yes, it
really.
Does.
Thanks
yes,
for cutting
does.
Me short over here.
I will cut you short every time.
Freaking, I won't remember.
Because you're already short.
I know you won't remember. So he dismembered.
I'm 5'2½.
He dismembered Hicks' body with a knife and then put the pieces in a trash bag. He waited until night and loaded the parts to dump them, and he got pulled over by the police for drifting over to the center lane. The officers asked why he was out so late and what was with the bags. He told the officers that he couldn't sleep due to his parents' divorce, and that a trip to the dump would take his mind off things. Just like, you know,
the dumps were open that late?
Who knows? Whatever.
Apparently his story was smooth enough to work.
So the police gave him a ticket and sent him on his way. He went home and hid the remains under the house for 2 weeks. Then he brought them out and smashed them into little bits with a sledgehammer, and I guess he spun in a circle and he was throwing the bone pieces and fragments everywhere, so they were just scattered, so they were everywhere.
Oh my god.
His dad ended up moving back into the house and tried to make him get a job. But, you know, Jeffrey's drinking became worse and to the point where he was getting tickets and needed to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Jeffrey ended up getting signed up for college, but instead stayed drunk and failed all his classes. He even was going as far as selling blood and plasma for booze.
I know some people.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways, long story short, he ended up flunking out. He ended up joining the military, and after basic, he went to a army hospital in San Antonio, Texas, where he learned to be a field medic. This gave him more insight into the human body also.
Uh-huh. Well, his dad made him go into the army.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
His dad said, you have nothing left, and the only other option is you need to go to the army. So he signed up, and then later he was drafted to Germany.
Yeah, so he did go to Germany, and then he was given a early discharge for his excessive drinking.
Yes.
This is kind of going towards the end, but at one point, I believe he was stationed in Germany, and the German authorities would investigate his possible connections between him and the murders that took place in the area with his time in that area.
Really? There were murders over there, too?
But they never
connect them.
Yeah, they couldn't.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
They ended up dismissing the whole entire thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
When he got out, he went to Miami Beach. He worked at a sandwich shop. He lived in a motel. At one time or another, he became homeless due to his excessive drinking. He didn't have enough money for the hotel. He ended up coming home for a short time. Then he moved to his grandmother's in Milwaukee. He even stopped drinking and started going to church. He fought his homosexual urges. And I guess he believed, well, he's going to church, so obviously he believed, like, it was immoral to be homosexual.
They cast it out of him.
Yeah. Because that works, you know.
He worked at a blood bank and also worked nights as a chocolate mixer in a candy factory. He stayed clean for a total of 3 years living with his grandmother. Let's take a small break right here.
Okay, okay.
And when we come back, we will get more into
his shenanigans.
His shenanigans. We'll be right back.
One of our sponsors today is LaFon Magazine, a magazine that's created by Tony Bologna.
Tony Bologna
is haunted by the angry spirit of his past life, LaFon, and he's selling these magazines to raise money to afford a proper exorcism. Proper exorcisms are not cheap, and we implore you to please help this man rid himself of LaFon by supporting his fledgling artistic venture. LaFon Magazine is fiction, art, and humor writing printed on chemically treated paper that takes decades to decompose in the ground. So direct your internet browser to LaFonMagazine.com, LaFonMagazine.com. You can snag issues 1-4 as well as other supernatural gifts. If you have a smartphone, you can follow Tony Bologna and LaFon Magazine on Instagram at LaFonZine. LaFon also has a Twitter page that you should follow at LaFon Magazine. Also, use the hashtag LaFon because, you know, no one else is. You could be the first. Please stop talking for the rest of your days. LaFon Magazine.
Hey guys, it's Lainey, host of the True Crime Fan Club podcast. If you're a true crime addict like I am, then my podcast is for you. It's a podcast for the ultimate true crime enthusiast, giving you a glimpse into the life and crimes of the most demented minds. You won't want to miss an episode.
Are you serious? A toaster can beat a dragon?
Toasters can get really hot.
Dragons breathe fire.
To see how this and other battles end, find My Thing Can Beat Your Thing on iTunes and Google Play, and send your thing sightings to @thingbeatsthing on Twitter. For MTCBYT News, I'm a news person.
And we're back.
How many times are we going to be back?
Are we back?
We're back now.
Okay,
we're back.
Sure. We're back?
All right.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
And we're back.
Oh, we're back.
And we're back.
You shithead.
Are we back, guys?
And we're back.
Oh, we are?
So, let's get right back into it. He was I guess Jeffrey was at a local library when he met a man, and the man handed him a note offering sexual favors. He says he declined the man, but this brought up all the old urges. Because remember, he was going to church, and he was cleaning up, living the Christian lifestyle. Maybe Christian.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of church it was,
yeah,
actually.
I jumped the gun by saying that.
Don't assume, Toby.
Yeah. So, to act out the fantasies he had, he stole a mannequin from a store window.
Uh-huh.
He kept this in his closet and would bring it out to,
juice all over it.
Master
juice
debate.
All over what? They don't
the
have
mannequin.
The mannequin. Freaking body parts.
Doesn't matter.
So,
maybe the girls, they have boobs, that's it.
Maybe it had defined abs on the man. Who knows? He would do this until his grandmother found it and made him get rid of it.
Oh my god.
And you gotta think, he's like 20-something.
Right. Okay, she told him to get rid of it. He never really got rid of it, though.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. She told him to, but he never got rid of it.
See what I'm saying?
Kept it hidden in the closet.
She finds a mannequin, but she never figures out anything else.
She's
what
not
a
like...
fucking... She is just dead to the world.
So, at this point, he starts going to bathhouses, and I guess, you know, this is where he could find anonymous sex with other males. To make his partners more submissive like he wanted in his fantasies, he would give them a drink laced with some sleeping pills. Because he wanted that body next to him like he did when he was younger. This stopped when he made one of the men overdose by accident, and he was kicked out of the bathhouse club, I guess.
And he would... But... While he's in the bathhouse things, he would sit there and kind of like coerce them by saying that he would do sexual favors to
them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff, I mean, so. he had fantasies that he wanted to fulfill, and he didn't
want to... Well, that's how they were being brought into the world, but they are like brought into his side, but they didn't realize that he was lacing them.
So he couldn't go to the bathhouses anymore, so he started going to gay bars and discos. This is where he would meet men now. Jeffrey's choice and men were long, lean, smooth, and muscular body types.
Like his.
Like Tyler.
Whoa. I am not
that
tall.
That went south real fast.
Oh, yeah, you are pretty short.
I'm pretty short.
He's like, back it up.
It looked like, if I wish someone could see the look on his face, it looked like I punched him and he was like, whoa.
Where did that come from?
Did you really just punch me with your words? So, on November 20th, 1987, at one of the bars, Jeffrey met 25-year-old Stephen Toomey.
I met this guy at one of the bars, downtown Milwaukee bars. We went back to the hotel. Just planning on getting drunk, I had put some sleeping pills in his drink to render him unconscious. And I was just going to spend the night with him. When I woke up in the morning... my forearms were bruised, and his chest was bruised, and blood was coming out of his mouth. He was hanging over the side of the bed. I have no memory of beating him to death, but I must have. And that's when it all started again. I had no intention of hurting him at all.
So Jeffrey went and found a large suitcase after he beat the man to death. That he can't recall why or how he did it. He stuffed the body into the suitcase, took a taxi, went back to his grandmother's house, and dismembered the body in the basement. He finally was giving in to his urges and didn't know... Well, he didn't want to control them anymore. He was happy with it, from what it seems.
Probably because he didn't remember it, so he thought he was in the clear. If his body doesn't remember, he's like, oh, okay.
On January 16th, 1988, Jeffrey met 14-year-old James... Joke starter? I don't know. Outside the gay bar called 219. At this point, Jeffrey is 28 years old. 14-year-old difference. Jeffrey offered the boy $50 to spend the night with him and pose nude for photos. They took the bus to his grandmother's, and while she was asleep, they had oral sex. Jeffrey drugged and strangled him after this. He hid his body in the basement for about a week and continued to have sex with it. Once the body started to decay, he dismembered it just like he did the other one. On March 24th, 1988, 2 months after killing James, he met Richard Guerrero, who was 22, at a bar. He offered Richard money to stay the night with him. He did the same thing he did to James before, drugged him, strangled him, dismembered his body in the basement. He would dissolve the flesh in acid and put the bones in the trash for the city to haul off. He bleached the skulls and kept it for several months before disposing it also. The remains were never found of Richard, so there's no evidence of Richard
But he was also, not only was he having sex and everything, but he was also, after they were to a decaying, like, stage, he would also masturbate to them.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't leave that
I thought that
out.
Was a given. He was doing all kinds of kinky things.
Well, not necessarily, because, yeah, he did some really odd things with these bodies, and, yeah, it's just odd.
On March 25th, 1989, he met another man at a gay club named Anthony Sears, who was either 24 or 26, conflicting documentaries.
Right.
And stuff. So, 24 or 26. Anthony was the last victim to be drugged and strangled at his grandmother's house. He was the first victim that Jeffrey kept a body part of. He preserved the skull and genitals. They were found during Jeffrey's arrest. Uh-huh. So, these were parts that were of this guy.
This was the start of his, like, permanent trophies.
I heard it completely different, how he was arrested.
We're not to the arrest yet.
Oh, that just said he was arrested.
Well, they found...
Those were the body parts that they found when they arrested him later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I jumped ahead, now I'm coming back.
Don't be that guy, Toby. Don't be that guy.
That same year, in 1989, Jeffrey's grandmother asked him to move out. She didn't like his late night activities. Because he was out... Well, first off, he was out all hours of the night.
I know, that's what I'm so confused about. Like, what grandma's...
The weird stuff you do in the basement's fine, but you can't stay out past midnight anymore, Jeffrey.
Yeah, and my grandma is so nosy, like, she would already been right up down there and like, the mix, going, what the fuck is going on?
Wasn't she complaining about the smell from the basement,
Yeah, there
too?
Was an awful smell coming from the basement.
She's that lazy of a grandma? Yeah. She's just like, that's going to
stick
on my ass.
Why are you dying in the basement?
Yeah. There's a weird smell, and there's an awful, horrible... noises, but
there
I'm
wasn't
just
a ramp,
on my
so she couldn't get down there.
That's right.
No one said she's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, we don't know, but let's just assume she's a grandma. I just singled out all the grandmas that are listening to the show.
Well, you never want to admit that your grandchild's doing something weird. So,
yeah, that's true. You kind of do mental gymnastics to make it seem like he's just being a 28-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, he's just doing 28-year-old things. This is not my not my house.
This is my
psychological
age. This
problem.
This is our age. Like,
yeah, psychological.
This is like
problem.
Me
just hitting things down there. But if he's crushing things down there, I mean, surely I don't know. My grandma would totally be up on her fucking hind legs, being like, "Are you tearing my shit up down there?"
Well, it depends on the grandparents. Some people are heavy sleepers. Some are very light sleepers.
Right.
She apparently was a very heavy sleeper.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe. You know, he's drugging them somehow and putting some sleeping medicine in there. Maybe she's one of the...
Yeah, I guess that's...
She's,
oh, hey,
she's
yeah,
taking the sleeping medicine,
idea.
So
yeah.
She's already out like a light while
right.
He's taking it from her and she doesn't realize it.
So he moved into his own apartment, still in Milwaukee. Jeffrey ended up luring a 13-year-old boy into his apartment and fondling him. The boy apparently escaped, and Jeffrey was convicted of second-degree sexual assault charges. He was sent to a one-year release program that made it to where he could sleep, or he had to sleep at the prison, but he was able to go do his job at the chocolate factory.
Real lockdown.
Yeah. He finished out his charges and moved into a lower rent apartment on his own again. 3 weeks after his official release, Jeffrey started killing again. Only 3 weeks. Like,
see, it makes me wonder, okay, so when did ankle bracelets happen?
I think that's probably a 90s thing.
I think so.
So if it was, then
sure.
At nowadays, like if you have to,
I guess
go out
this
to
is
work,
the 90s.
If you have to go out to work, then they will have you a time window when you stay at home and you wear the ankle bracelet and blah blah blah. Why didn't they just do that for him versus him going to the prison to sleep? I mean, and I said this to Toby earlier. I'm sorry, but even molestation can happen between 9 and 5 versus. I mean, he could be doing it right there at work. I mean, if he's that suave to do it at his grandma's house, he could be doing it
at work.
I mean,
if this is his first offense, though, like, that's still not even, I'm trying to defend him.
Who in the world has their first offense and they go, it's okay, you can go to your normal job, and then after you're done, you just report back to here, and
yeah,
we'll tuck you in at night, okay? And we'll give you a warm meal and everything.
It's the same with Gacy, John Wayne Gacy, right? I mean, he got in trouble for those same things and barely served any time whatsoever.
This is still like a time where technology's changing. We're trying to better our laws.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the only way they bettered it was, well, you can stay in prison, but during the day you can go out.
It was
like that's their way of bettering it.
He
like,
got the test run of them like, hey, we're going to try this new program out where we let you go do what you want, but come sleep here. I don't know.
See him walking out of there at the beginning of the day going, looking back going, gotcha, bitch. And going off and doing whatever he wants to do and molestation, like everything. Like, I just don't see it being, I don't know. I think it's so dumb.
So let's kind of rapid fire through some of these killings, because there's a total of 17 victims in all of this history. So let's go ahead and just go through them real quick. May 20th, 1990, Jeffrey's first victim killed at his new apartment was 32-year-old Raymond Smith. Raymond was a prostitute, and Jeffrey drugged him with the sleeping pills and strangled him on the kitchen floor. June 14th, 1990, 27-year-old Edward Smith was killed next. He acidified the skeleton, but the skull was destroyed when he put it in the oven. He put it in the oven to remove the moisture, so no remains were ever found because he just tossed them all because the skull got ruined.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is one of these victims the one that almost got away?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't write down.
Have you? Okay. Because while he
I got that. I know what you're
saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I got that. And I got clips
because,
see,
I thought that kid was one of his victims while he was under investigation or while he was still in trouble with the 13-year-old.
No, this is way later.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay.
The one with the 911 call and all that
stuff? I got the 911 call, too.
See, I could have sworn that was going on while he was still under investigation for the 13-year-old.
Mm-mm. Maybe Mandela happened with Dahmer. Well, I've been thinking a lot of stuff, too.
That all happened in the 89.
Okay.
And all that happens late in 91.
Gotcha.
September 2nd, 1990, 22-year-old Ernest Miller, not the wrestler, Ernest Miller. Ernest the Cat Miller was a wrestler for WCW. Anyways, not that guy, but a different one. He was a dance student that Jeffrey met outside of a bookstore. I think Ernest the Cat Miller's gimmick was a dance person, too. Anyways, he was killed by having his throat cut. Jeffrey kept his entire skeleton in a drawer and his heart, bicep, and portions of his legs in the freezer to eat later.
What?
September 24th. Nom, nom. September 24th, 1990, 22-year-old David Thomas was promised money for posing nude at Jeffrey's apartment. He gave him a sleeping pill-laced drink and decided he wasn't my type. Jeffrey still strangled David and took pictures of his dismantled body. No remains were ever found. And I don't mean to laugh at that. It just...
No stone unturned?
It's kind of like so bad that it's like a nervous chuckle. It's not like a... Yeah. Like a, ha-ha, this
it's
is
just,
funny.
This isn't my type, but I'm still going to do the things that I've been doing.
Right.
February 18th, 1991, 17-year-old Curtis Strotter was lured to his apartment from a bus stop. He was drugged, handcuffed, and then strangled and dismembered. Jeffrey kept his skull, hands, and genitals. April 7th, 1991, 19-year-old Errol Lindsay was the first victim Jeffrey would try his drilling technique.
Oh, okay. I was wondering when you would get to this one. This is just weird.
I tried to create living zombies with muriatic acid in the drill, but it never worked. No, the killing wasn't the objective. I just wanted to have the person under my complete control to do with as I wanted.
Yep, he's making sexual zombies.
So he's just kind of like the, like, what is it? What, who? Who's
the MacGyver of molestation?
Well, no, not necessarily. Like, he's just trying to, like, the guy who's the scientist over Frankenstein? I forget him.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck y'all. Well, oh, Dr. Frankenstein, he's like a Dr. Frankenstein. It's like a Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to experiment on bodies and see what he can do with
them. Right. So he was drilling a hole in their head, and then he would inject acid into their brain to zombify them. Jeffrey has said that Errol woke up after this. He later laced a drink with sleeping pills and then strangled him.
Where did he get this idea of trying to make a zombie?
Maybe Grandma. Grandma's showing him a little cocktail upstairs.
So Jeffrey filleted this body and kept the skin for several weeks. His skull was found in the apartment. May 24, 1991, 31-year-old Tony Hughes was a deaf mute. Jeffrey lured him into his apartment after making a promise to pose nude for photos. I know what you're about to ask. How did he communicate? They wrote each other notes. It's that simple. Because he was a deaf mute. He ended up being strangled.
Sexy.
And left in Jeffrey's room for 3 days before dismembering. Jeffrey also took pictures of the dismemberment, and he kept his skull and was later identified by dental records. May 27th, 1991, 14-year-old named Kenrick Synthethomer. I can't say that last name even if I was paid $1 million to say it correctly.
Spell it.
SINTHASOMPHONE.
Okay. Yeah.
Synthesophone. Anyways, so this is why we get bad reviews. Is me trying to say terrible
right.
names.
Right. So and we're just a terrible podcast.
Yeah, anyway, we're a terrible podcast.
I'm not too worried about.
Leave us a good review. Make us feel better.
Bunch of fat asses.
No, I like the bad reviews. Fuck that. Good reviews are for pussies. I want the bad reviews.
No, stop saying this.
Bring it, bitch.
Don't challenge them.
Because we'll get it. I know we will.
There's more of them than there are of us.
Who cares?
Okay, so this guy, I think, was the younger brother of the kid that he molested a few years ago.
Yes.
Which is weird. Like, why would you, if you knew who this guy was, I don't know. That just seems a little weird. That seems a little weird.
Stop touching the microphone, Toby. It picks up.
I know, right after I was like, everyone hates us.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
So, Jeffrey drugged this kid and then injected acid into his brain. He left and left the kid unattended to make a beer run because he's that big of an alcoholic. He's halfway through this and he's like, need some more beer. Need some more brewskis, bro. This kid ended up wandering out into the street naked. And a woman ended up calling the police because several women found him and didn't know what to do. So they called the police.
Okay, hi. I'm on 25th and State. And this is young man. He is butt naked. He has been beaten up. He is very bruised up. He can't stand. He's study fall out. He is butt naked. He has no clothes on. He was really hurt. And I ain't got no court on him. I just seen him and he needs some help.
Where is he at?
On 25th and State, the corner of 25th and State.
He's just on the corner of the street?
Yeah, he in the middle of the street. He fell out. We trying to help him. Some people trying to help him.
Okay, and he's unconscious right now?
He getting him up. He is bruised up. Somebody must have jumped on him and stripped him or whatever.
They've said that, you know, he sounded beat up and, you know, the cops ended up showing up.
See, I didn't think that he did the acid thing until after this.
I think he did it before, and that's why the kid was so fucked up.
Okay.
I may have gotten it out of order, but that's what I would assume. But if I guess you're right, because if he would have drilled into his head before, I'm sure
that would be a very noticeable wound.
You know, the cops did show up, and Jeffrey found him first, I think. I think that's what it said. But long story short, Jeffrey ended up convincing the police that the kid was of age, first of all, because the kid was 14. He convinced the cops that this was his gay lover. And that they had a lover's quarrel. He told them that they were arguing and, you know, they got drunk and just things went awry.
Array is something completely different.
A sunshine.
Well, isn't it like an array, like something to do with satellites too?
Oh, I don't know.
I guess I'm the only smart one.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Rudy.
Fuck you guys.
Array. Fuck y'all. Array. What'd I say? Array?
Yeah. It's a rye.
So, Jeffrey, to convince the police that everything was okay, and to convince him of his story, brought the police and the kid back to his apartment and showed him the naked photos and was like, yeah, see, this is my lover. Here's my proof. Showed him the naked pictures. The police wrote this off, you know, as a drunken fight. And listen to how the cops handled this situation. I got they phoned back into the station.
The intoxicated Asian naked male was returned to his sober boyfriend. My partner's gonna get deloused at the station.
It kind of sounds like they're chuckling a little bit.
Kinda.
A little bit. I mean, it's radio chatter, so it's kind of really hard to tell, but I thought that clip was longer, first off.
Right. Well, he's returned to his sober boyfriend.
Yeah.
Sober lover.
So, yeah. As soon as the cops left, I guess... Oh, see, my research said that he injected more acid into his brain, and this is what killed the kid.
Uh-huh.
And his head was later found in the freezer.
Right. Now, see, at this point, I'm going to hold the Milwaukee Police Department responsible for anything after this, because this is a guy who had previous dealings with minors that they already have a record on, because he was arrested for the fondling the one kid.
They should have.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do they not go back and look at this shit?
And this kid's underage.
Yeah.
And there's a question of how old he is. Why wouldn't they go, okay, this kid's underage. This guy's been already hit up once for
dealing. He's in the system.
He's in the system for having a contact with an underage child. I do believe
he had to file as a sex offender. There we go.
Then why would they let this go like that? Was he that smooth?
He's that smooth.
That he really could convince these cops that this was a kid that was over 18.
Yeah.
I mean.
Without them even checking.
Is that going to be a new thing to call someone Jeffrey Dahmer smooth? They're smooth.
But then there's
Dahmer smooth.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
but god damn.
I mean, if you can, if you're a registered sex offender and you can convince the cops that the kid you're jacking with right now is of age, that's on a whole new level.
Right.
I'll take the bait. I'm a Dahmer smooth salesperson.
I never want to deal with you.
I'll make a million.
I'm never going to deal with you for anything ever again.
So
I'm going to look at you and be like, am I smooth or am I Dahmer?
That's a shirt now or a bumper sticker.
Oh my god.
Jeffrey is starting to run out of storage for all these body parts now. To deal with this problem, he bought a blue 57-gallon drum and filled it with acid to dissolve body parts. After a few weeks of each body sitting in the barrel, they would turn into sludge, and he would either flush it down the toilet or pour it down his sink drain or bathtub drain.
Yep.
What about the plumbing? Acid kills the plumbing.
He didn't care. He's killing people. Why would he care about the plumbing?
Yeah, at this point,
it's a low income apartment.
Right.
Being caught.
So for some of the victims, he would boil the skin off their bones on the stove. Obviously, the smell of death started filling the apartment complex. A lot of the tenants believed it was coming from Jeffrey's apartment because they could go up to his door and that's where the smell was the strongest.
It's awful funny. Whatever Jeff was cooking, Jeff never bought no groceries. So what could he have been cooking? That smell like chitlins. Chitlins have a very peculiar, nasty odor to them, you know.
Yeah, I remember seeing that clip, and I was like, damn.
So who's hungry for some chitlins?
No.
I am.
No.
I love chitlins.
So in one documentary, his neighbor would explain every time the health department or police were called due to the smells, Jeffrey wouldn't be home. So they never got to inspect anything. Also, it was said in one documentary that he had like 6 locks on his door. Like there was extra locks added, but that wasn't suspicious, if that's true.
Well, okay. Was it a bad neighborhood though?
Yeah, it was notorious for being a little bit bad.
Then that might be something common.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Jeffrey obviously wanted to keep parts of his victims, right?
Uh-huh.
He planned on making a shrine of some sort with all the skulls that he was collecting and body parts. This wasn't good enough, so Jeffrey started eating his victims to keep a little part of them with him forever.
Uh-huh.
It made me feel like they were a permanent part of me. Besides the just mere curiosity of what it would be like, it made them feel that they were a part of me, and it gave me a sexual satisfaction to do that.
So eating people is giving him a sexual...
Okay, now see, this is where I guess I was a little off on my original story. I thought he ate all his victims. I didn't realize it was so late into his killings.
He
started eating his
it
victims.
It may have been a little here, a little there.
Right.
But I think it got a lot heavier in eating his victims the later.
Grandma didn't keep no snacks at the house?
I guess not.
God, I don't want to laugh at that. He had to
have his own snacks, I guess.
Yeah, little PB&J and human.
A little PB&J and maybe some bicep.
Yeah.
So, Kristen, like you were saying earlier, his family, maybe you said this off microphone, but his family was never really suspecting anything, right?
Not that I know of.
They thought he was good. Like, they thought he was doing good. He lived away from his parents, so he did get to see them. There's videotape of him at a Christmas.
I think it's like a Christmas party or something.
And his dad's like, "You're looking good. You're not looking too skinny. You're looking fit and stuff."
Well, Dad, this is what human remains do to you.
You should try my diet.
Oh my god.
So,
that is so horrible. You're looking fit, Jeff. It's the meat.
It's the human brain.
Oh god.
So. With this being said, that he his family didn't suspect anything, he did have a close call one time.
I had a box in my bedroom closet, and it contained the mummified head and genitals of a young man I met in one of the bars down in Milwaukee. And it was a locked metal box. My dad, 1 week came to visit and happened to see it and, wondering what was in it. He didn't know. Nobody knew. I told him it was, pornography, some magazines. And he wasn't satisfied with that answer. We got into a bit of an argument because I wouldn't open it up. He took the locked box down to the basement and was about to smash it open. But I came back in the house. We reconciled.
So, really close call with Dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we will finish this baby up.
All right.
This is How Have You Not Seen, a movie podcast where we fill in the gaps in each other's cinematic knowledge by asking important questions like,
how have you not seen Psycho?
How have you not seen Blade Runner?
How have you not seen Apocalypse Now?
How have you not seen Superman?
Every week, we pick one of our favorite movies that the other hasn't seen.
We talk about it.
Then we watch the movie.
And we come back and we talk about it some more.
It's going to be a real good time.
You can find us on Twitter at @HHYNS_movies. You can find this podcast on iTunes, the Google Play Store. We're on Stitcher, which is pretty cool. All right. We'll be seeing you guys later days.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio. We also have a sister show, Splurch, where we dive into the world of comics and all the crazy aspects of life. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube channel, visit our site, Parlapod.com, and consider supporting our Patreon for some really cool rewards and exclusive content. Check us out on PodcastRadioNetwork.net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join the conversation on Twitter by following @Parlapod. We'll see you in the swamps.
In the swamps. In the swamps. In the swamps.
Hello, you lot. I'm Daryl.
And I'm Ben.
And we're Sudden Double D, the Triple Bill Title Podcast. Each fortnight, we watch three films linked by a word in the title. For example,
Sudden Impact, Double Impact, and Deep Impact.
Or
Young Frankenstein, Young Guns, and While We're Young.
Or
Four Flies on Grey Velvet, Blue Velvet, and Velvet Goldmine.
You get the idea. If you're into finding links between weird triple bills, taking pot shots at terrible movies, and listening to two film fanatics bicker, then we've the show for you. Search for Sudden Double Deep on iTunes, Stitcher, and all good podcatchers, and find us on Twitter at SDD Film Podcast. That's SDD Film Podcast. Thank you very much.
We are back. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's how I was not wanting to do. We are back.
That was even worse.
We are back.
Wait, and we're back.
And we're back.
That's better.
To the news. So, where we left off, June 30th, 1991, 20-year-old Matt Turner, we're going right back into the murders, guys. Matt Turner met Jeffrey at a bus stop at a Chicago Pride Parade. Jeffrey was able to persuade him to go back to Milwaukee to do a photo shoot. Matt was drugged, strangled, and dismembered.
It's kind of his MO at this point.
His head and internal organs were placed in the freezer, while his torso was put into the blue drum. July 5th, 1991, 23-year-old Jeremy Weinberg met Jeffrey at a gay bar in Chicago and agreed to go back to Milwaukee with Jeffrey. Jeffrey drilled a hole in his skull and injected boiling water into the cavity. So I guess he's trying something different, because he wants these zombies that he can keep alive but have complete control over. He was later decapitated, and his body was kept in the bathtub for a week before being dismembered and parts placed in the drum. July 15th, 19...
How did he take a bath? He must have been smelly.
Ew, you're right. There's a lot of these that say, like, yeah, there's a lot of these I haven't... Maybe he's just taking a... He's, like, showering above it or something.
I mean, his apartment already smells like death, so he's just walking around smelling like death
the whole time. I didn't think about all that. So, July 15th, 1991, 24-year-old bodybuilder Oliver Lacey was promised money to pose for Jeffrey in his apartment. He was drugged, strangled, decapitated, and his head and heart were placed in the refrigerator. The skeleton was kept to be part of the shrine of the other skulls and skeletons he was keeping. July 19th, 1991, Jeffrey's last victim, 25-year-old Joseph Bradhoft. Joseph was a father of three, and he was from Minnesota looking for work in Milwaukee. He was decapitated, his head was put in the refrigerator while the torso was put in the drum. On July 22nd, 1991, this is when everything went shitty for Jeffrey. Jeffrey offered three men $100 to come to his apartment and take nude photos and drink beer and keep him company. 32-year-old Tracy Edwards agreed and went with him. Jeffrey tricked Tracy into looking away, and he slapped some handcuffs on him, I guess? Jeffrey had one handcuff on him, and I guess he was trying to get the other handcuff on him. I don't know if he ever successfully got the second handcuff, like, where his wrists were bound. He got one on for sure. I couldn't really figure that out. He ended up telling Tracy to go to his bedroom so they could do the nude photos. I guess Jeffrey pulled the knife out and was going to take... I'm not real sure on how this events all happened, but from what it seems like, he held the knife to him and was like, we're going to take these pictures, you know, and...
Do it now.
Tracy ended up trying to, like, say, look, put the knife down, take the handcuffs off, and we'll do all this.
I'm willing. I'm very willing.
Right. He's... I don't know. So, anyways, I guess Jeffrey put the knife down. Edward starts to undress, saying, stay cool. We're good. Something happens to where Jeffrey started trying to put in a movie or something in the bedroom. They were watching The Exorcist 3 or 2 or whatever. I guess Jeffrey started laying his head on Tracy's chest to listen to his heartbeat. It's just all weird. I think that's why I'm having trouble telling this story, because it's just such a weird... It's just weird. So he put his head on his heart. Tracy asked if he could drink a beer in the living room where there was air conditioner was. I guess they went into the living room. He asked him if he could go to the restroom. And I don't know. He kept asking to go to the restroom. Tracy did. Right. And I guess at one point, Jeffrey wasn't paying attention and Tracy punched him in the head and took off running out the front door. He was able to find two Milwaukee police officers. They tried to remove the because he had the handcuffs, at least on one hand, but their key didn't fit because it was a different brand. So the officers were like, okay, well, let's go back to Jeffrey's house and get the right key and we'll talk to him. So they all three went back to Jeffrey's house.
Why didn't they just cut it off?
I don't know. They probably didn't have anything to... Well, I guess they probably have bolt cutters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe they didn't have bolt cutters.
Yeah, but eventually, I'd rather keep those handcuffs on me for 2 days versus going back to the person's house that I just left.
That is true. I would have been like, nope, these are staying on permanently. Yeah, I'm not going back to that goddamn apartment.
Eventually, I'll lose weight enough long to get this shit off.
I'll break my damn thumb and get them off. Fuck that. I'm not going back to that house.
So Jeffrey allowed the officers and Tracy into the apartment, and he admitted that he did put the handcuffs on Tracy. He didn't tell the officers why he put the handcuffs. I guess he started being very vague.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was just like, meh, yeah, I did. Why? And he was just like, meh. So Tracy then told the cops about the knife, and Jeffrey didn't comment on that. I guess Jeffrey told one of the officers that the key was in the bedside drawer or something, and as the officer was trying to go into the room, Jeffrey tried to quickly step in front of him to kind of like intersect him.
Right. He acted awfully suspicious.
Right. So the second officer was like,
move.
Back off, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first officer went into the bedroom, found the knife, saw the drawer open, saw a bunch of Polaroids of human bodies in different stages of dismemberment. Because remember, he would take pictures of everything that he was doing.
Right.
The backgrounds in the pictures looked exactly like Jeffrey's apartment. So this is how he knew, like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
The officer showed the other officer, and Jeffrey started to immediately resist arrest. Like, he started fighting and trying to get away. They called for a second car for backup. One officer opened the refrigerator to find a head on the bottom shelf. While on the ground, Jeffrey muttered the words, "For what I did, I should be dead." Later, it was revealed that he had four severed heads in the kitchen. A total of seven skulls were in the bedroom. Two human hearts, a portion of an arm muscle, and this is all wrapped in plastic bags on the shelves.
Uh-huh.
In the freezer, they found a torso, a bag of human organs, and flesh stuck to the ice at the bottom. How gross is that?
And he's still inviting people over.
You know, that's a good point. Not one point that someone was like, I'm going to go grab a beer out of the refrigerator, and oh my god, you have a head sitting here looking at right. me.
Yeah, what if he would have gotten to like a real relationship to where they were like, oh, and on that level of like calmness, and then they go out there to the freezer, they find the freezer and open it up, and then here's all these remains.
I don't think he would have been able to have a real relationship.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
No, not at
this
point.
There are serial killers. Psycho had a real relationship.
But what he wanted, nobody was willing
Psycho's
to give
a movie.
Him, though.
It's still... What
he wanted, though, nobody was able to give him. He wanted something completely submissive.
Right.
100% would do anything he told him, and he wasn't going to get that.
Well, I think that's why that one guy got away.
Which one?
Remember, he was like, put away the knife.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely, like,
yeah, he kind of saw what was happening and got out of the situation. Yeah. I guess he didn't get a chance to sleeping pill him. You know?
No, because the guy was starting to resist. The guy was figuring out something was up.
So
he deserves a Dahmer medal.
They also found two entire skeletons, a pair of severed hands, two severed penises, a mummified scalp, and in the 57-gallon drum, three torsos dissolving in the acid.
Yep.
74 Polaroid pictures of dismembered victims were what they found. The chief medical examiner said later, it was more like dismantling someone's museum than an actual crime scene. Jeffrey at one point told police that he wouldn't have been caught if he wasn't so drunk. So
he's blaming his own alcoholism on his killings.
Yes. So during the interrogation, he told Detective Patrick Kennedy, and this is the man with the thick-ass mustache. If you watch any documentary, this man is in it, and he has a thick mustache.
Right.
He told him that this case was going to make him famous. Jeffrey Dahmer confessed to have killed 17 men between 1978 and 1991. The police even went to his old home in Bath, Ohio to find the bones of his first victim, Stephen Hicks. They also went to his grandmother's house and investigated there.
Uh-huh.
During the trial, Jeffrey pleaded guilty but insane. So the entire case was really based on, like, is he insane or is he sane?
Right.
Because, first off, Wisconsin has no death penalty. If the jury found him sane, he'd be spending his life in prison. If he was found insane, he'd go to a mental facility.
Right.
In a 10-2 decision, the jury found Jeffrey legally sane. During the trial, a few of the victims were actually able to get up to the bench. Is it a bench?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
They got to speak their mind, and there's a few that like went crazy on him and just screaming, which... If I lost a family member in a gruesome way like that, yeah, I completely understand. But they get
a few of the victims' family members.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd I say?
You said a few of the victims.
Oh, no. I meant the family. At the end of the trial, Jeffrey got to give his final statement.
Your Honor, it is over now. This has never been a case of trying to get free. I didn't ever want freedom. Frankly, I wanted death for myself. This was a case to tell the world that I did what I did not for reasons of hate. I hated no one. I knew I was sick or evil or both. Now I believe I was sick. I know how much harm I have caused. I tried to do the best I could after the arrest to make amends, but no matter what I did, I could not undo the terrible harm I have caused. I know I will be in prison for the rest of my life.
Do you think he was actually sorry, or was he sorry that he got caught?
I don't think he was sorry, or he was sorry he got caught. Yeah. There's no emotion.
No.
You watch his interview, it's monotone.
Oh, I mean, you can hear it throughout yeah. this.
I don't know.
The
I think he's
clips
sorry
play.
That no one ever saw it.
I think he's insane.
yeah, and I think that he's probably sorry that no one ever saw it, and then he's sorry that... He probably tried to reach out, but he didn't really know how to reach out because no one teaches you.
I guess, you know...
Nowadays, we have people who teach you how to reach out.
Yeah.
But back then, you didn't have a way to reach out. No one taught you how to reach out.
Well, not only that.
If you reached out, then you'd be fucking shamed and banned forever.
Well, at least if you watch the Gacy interview, he seems a little more lively than Dahmer. Dahmer,
but
there's a serious disconnect.
Yeah, in the interview, was
true.
He already in prison?
Yes. Yeah.
Hands down.
Well, so was Gacy.
Yeah. They were both already in
Depends
prison.
Depends on what level you are on. He got stuck in with somebody who probably was against child molestation and realized he was a molester. Gacy wasn't.
Mm. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Not necessarily it didn't come out as good as this one.
Well,
he was mostly on molestation like, no, child Gacy had a couple
of molestations. Gacy went to jail a lot of times.
Mostly on child like molestation.
Three or four times for molestation. Yeah.
It depends on it, too.
Go listen to our Gacy episode.
Who's good episode. Who is the guard at the time? Guards have a lot to do with it, too. And maneuvering on things. So, I mean, I think that he probably tried to reach out. He just didn't know how to reach out. Not sitting there saying, oh, poor serial killer. But, I mean, it's wrong what he did, by all means. But
he was having fun, from what it sounds like.
Yeah. He was enjoying himself.
But so, he didn't know any better. No one told him any better. His dad was like, hey, look, pick up all these dead things.
He admits he knew better. In his interview, he knows what he did was wrong.
Want to control it.
Well, eventually, after he's talked with several people, yeah, he was doing wrong, but he didn't go to his grandma, who was
sleeping
half the time.
That's just it.
And
he
then his
care
dad taught
doing.
Him how to pick up dead bodies all the time. His dad's like, here, this is how you do this and this. And who's to say his dad wasn't dissecting bodies too with him? You don't know that.
Well, no, we don't, but he never.
He would have admitted it.
Well, actually,
probably not to save his dad's hide.
Well, okay, Dahmer actually gets mad whenever they start accusing his parents of not knowing.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
see?
He actually gets mad because he's like, "It's not their fault. It's me. I did this. I'm the one responsible."
But that could run both ways because he has the older mentality, and in that like mentality way, like, are in his generation. They're real protective of their parents. His parents could have taught him how to do a bunch of shit, and he probably protected them.
I don't see that. I really don't.
No, I mean, little kids are going out hunting and skinning deer and all kinds
of
stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't
turn out serial killers.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's also doing the same thing. I mean, his parents don't know, but also at the same time, they don't really stop it either. They don't seem too involved in his life this whole entire time. He's living with his grandma. He's out, and he's drunk, and he's living on the side of the road.
Yeah,
I could understand if he's going out and just like killing these animals around the house for no reason. Yeah, that's definitely a sign that maybe his parents
should have put a stop to that. He was doing all that crap in secret, though. All the early stuff.
All this, it's. I mean, there's a possibility. Let's just say that maybe his parents knew, but from what it really sounds like, it sounds like this is his closeted secret, like. You know, it got worse when he moved out of his grandma's house. I don't know. But anyway, so during his trial and everything, he got sent to a prison term of 937 years. Kristen thought.
That's dumb.
She said that the other day when we were watching that documentary, she's like, that's stupid. And it is. I don't know why they just don't say, you're in jail for infinity and beyond.
I mean, 937 life terms. I guess that means an impact for every family that's out there that was scorned and, you know, hurt. But it's like,
silly.
That's a little outrageous.
So he ended up going to the Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, Wisconsin. In November 1992, they tore down the apartments he lived in. Just, you know, they weren't going to...
Who's going to live in that apartment?
Precautionary measure.
Well, okay.
Let's tear down the apartments that the serial killer and the cannibalist lived in, but let's not tear it down because of the crackheads that were in there boiling meth every day. Well, but that's okay.
Hold
we're
on.
Gonna tear it down.
So the lady that lived next door to Dahmer in one of the documentaries said that people were coming and knocking on her door because she had a couch or something that Dahmer gave her. They were paying her $50 a pop just to sit on the couch.
Damn.
I wish I had that couch.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
My God.
Or there was one guy that supposedly had a glass that Jeffrey Dahmer drank out of one time, and they were like paying $5 to hold it. How weird is that? People are like,
how weird are people, though, you know? you have a psychotic serial killer cannibal, and you want to sit on his couch.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you want to do that?
Just to say you did.
Still, there's a lot of things I want to do, but I'm not going to...
Pay $50.
Yeah.
Just like the girl who almost married freaking... What's his name?
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Yeah.
Look at everything she
Why would you
want to
do that?
Just to say she did and she could.
Have you seen pictures of her, though?
Yeah.
She looks psychotic. I'll bet you she has a basement full of bodies.
She's still pretty for that.
She has a body full of bodies.
She has a body full of bodies. Yeah.
So, while in prison...
She eats people.
While in prison, Jeffrey struggled with his morals of, you know, why he did what he did.
Okay.
He started blaming, like, the devil. Even though he was an atheist the majority of his adult life after his moving out of his grandma's, he decided to start going back to church in prison. And he even got baptized in April 1994. In August 1994, he was attacked by other prisoners in the chapel with a knife. He survived this attack, but on November 29th, 1994, an inmate named Christopher Scarver, who went by the nickname Christ, beat him with a metal rod from the prison gym. This is what I was talking about for full circle that I didn't realize until we started this.
Uh-huh.
His first killing was with a metal bar.
With a dumbbell.
He got killed with a metal bar.
Right. See, and I'd always heard he got shanked in the shower.
Oh, really?
That's all growing up, that's what I ever heard. But then I do this research, and he was beaten to death with a metal rod. So
no,
I'm like,
that's okay. Just Mandela.
Probably. Or just my shit memory.
So, Jeffrey died on the way to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Jeffrey was cremated, and his ashes were split between his mother and his father. I bet that goes for a lot of money.
Oh, God.
I need...
Could you imagine?
I got an ounce of Dahmer
right.
to sell. So, he didn't want a marker. He didn't want a grave. He didn't want a funeral. He just... want to be cremated. He didn't want anyone to celebrate his life because he didn't feel like that was in his will. No, what's it?
Last will and testament.
Yeah, yeah. In case you're wondering about that guy, Christopher Scarver, the man who killed him, he told a news source why he had killed him. He said that Jeffrey used to fashion limbs out of prison food, like making it look like an arm, I guess, and then would put ketchup on it to make it look like blood. So he was still being kind of twisted.
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
Christopher said that he never interacted with him before. He stayed away because he just didn't like him. And then November 28th, 1994, Jeffrey and another inmate were tasked to clean the bathrooms. They were unshackled, and they had free rein. Christopher was with them, and he also is a convicted murderer. He explained that he went to get a mop and that he felt someone poke his back. When he turned around, he saw Dahmer and the other inmate laughing underneath their breath.
Uh-huh.
He said... I looked into their eyes, and I couldn't tell which one had done it. Later, he followed Jeffrey and asked if he really did kill all those people. Jeffrey tried to leave the locker room that they were in, but that's when Christopher took a metal bar and crushed Jeffrey's head. He did the same thing to the other man that was involved.
Okay.
Christopher believes the prison guards left them alone because he knew he didn't like Jeffrey and knew he wanted him dead. They added two life terms to Christopher's already life term. So he's got three.
And now that gentleman has 937,000 years added to his sentence.
He collects everything that Jeffrey had. So that's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wow, that is Jeffrey Dahmer indeed.
I gotta tread lightly. I can't say anything because I'm already on the Casey list.
Yeah, Kristen's like, I agree with every bit of this.
I'm on the serial killer list.
Do y'all have anything y'all want to say about all this?
No, there is no. Mm-mm. No, I don't even want to crack wise.
Okay.
I don't want to say nothing.
So far on the show, I know you and Tyler weren't here for the Ed Gein.
Oh, yeah.
But we've talked about Ed Gein,
uh-huh.
Jeffrey Dahmer, and John Wayne Gacy.
Uh-huh.
Let's rank them, if you know enough about Ed Gein anyways.
Not Dahmer. Really.
Dahmer's number one.
How many victims did John Wayne Gacy have?
20-something. 22, yeah, I think.
He had a pretty high count.
Yeah, but he only ate all their heads. He didn't save their torsos.
Yeah, I don't... Man,
yeah,
it's hard to say who's more gruesome, huh? I'd say Gacy and Dahmer are definitely...
He was leaving his totally bodies Dahmer. In his own house.
But
Dahmer was too.
Gein,
Dahmer was
Gein
keeping
Dahmer
some
ate
of the
him.
Body parts.
Dahmer ate them.
Gein was making clothing, nipple belts, and
well,
whatnot.
Dahmer ate them. Gacy only ate out. Only used the shit. He was only sourcing his shit out.
Okay, Ed Gein is at the bottom because he only killed like two people. The rest he dug up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's what makes Ed Gein's case really fascinating. Is there's only two murders that he may
I'm
have been
so
involved
bad
in.
After all,
two or three,
right?
Yeah, but like he's the one that would make skull bowls. This is where Kristen gets her skull bowls
right.
from.
Right.
Utilizing his.
See. Okay, a lot of people are going to put Gacy at the top just because he used to dress up as a clown.
Oh, and that's
there's that association
terrifying.
Too.
Yeah.
I can see people.
I think
putting,
Dahmer's top.
I'm seeing people putting Dahmer up top because his several of his victims were underage,
mm-hmm.
and
he tried to make zombies.
He tried to make zombies. A lot of them were gay, and he ate some of them
that's
too.
And
so.
We didn't even put this in the thing. They were African American.
Oh yeah, yeah. You had
There was a mix with his that I did. I see. I thought,
but
all
everything
of his
that
victims,
I read, it was majority African American.
I think right. There was like seven or eight.
Right.
And so that's whenever I sit there and I thought, well, that's.
And it's weird because he, during his interview, they asked him, did race play a factor? He goes, no. He goes, it was the body type.
Yeah.
He sits there and admits,
so
I liked him a certain way. Right.
That
one clip. He liked him a certain way, and that's how he picked him. He even said himself, skin color didn't matter. He wanted a certain type.
White boys are too fat. That's what he's saying.
You know what? Thank God I'm fat because.
Right. Right.
Maybe if there's another Dahmer out there, they'll just look at me and be like,
What if that other Dahmer likes fat guys?
Yeah.
Oh man,
the new Dahmer is a chubby chaser.
What if it's a Gacy? Yeah. What if it's a Gacy? The Gacy.
I'm gonna start
fat boys.
Yeah.
I'm starting my diet today, and it's not gonna be the cannibal diet like Dahmer.
It's a starve myself diet, so a serial killer doesn't get me.
Yeah.
It's the Gacy diet.
So it's a win-win. You get to avoid the chubby chaser, serial killer, and you get to be healthy. So
all right.
You know, yeah. There you go.
Well. Do we have anything else to add to this, or are we gonna end this? And
I want to end this one because I don't want to make light of it. This one's pretty morbid.
It is.
This one's really a dark.
I
want to
end it
series.
Before I do make light of it. Cause I will.
I will say there's a lot of interesting research if you're into this kind of stuff on Dahmer, because he is a very unique case, I think, as far as what he did, how he did it. Don't watch the movie they did of him in like the early 2000s. Not accurate one bit.
Oh,
it's garbage too.
I want to bring up this movie, and I need one of our listeners to send me this movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to buy it with my own money, but I'll let someone else. So please, for my birthday or Christmas or anything, buy me Dahmer versus Gacy. It is. I watched the trailer.
What?
Yes, or it's Gacy versus Dahmer. One way or another. It's a movie about. It's a very low budget movie. Obviously, I watched the trailer.
Uh huh.
They are cloning serial killers in this facility, and they want to watch them fight. And it is the cheesiest, most horrible-looking acting I've ever seen. But I think it's done that way on purpose.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a comedy horror movie.
Okay.
So look for that. And if someone has seen it, tell me how good it is or how bad it is. I don't
right.
I want to know about
Shut.
It.
And if we're making movie references, Demolition Man makes a reference to him. Because at the end, when Wesley Snipes is unlocking a bunch of murderers to unleash into this utopian society, Dahmer's one of the cryo prisoners at the time, because Dahmer was still alive.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
I need to...
Because he's sitting there, he's at a computer, he goes, Jeffrey Dahmer? His ass is alive still? Shit!
That's
yeah.
funny. That's
yeah.
super funny.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch.
It's just a little, just an odd little nod, you
so
know.
I'd be like, what up, boo?
I like the, the Taco Bell wars. Or the fast food wars or whatever.
Fast food. Oh, yeah. Taco Bell is the winner. Oh, wait. I saw something weird. And the closed captioning, the movie came on not too long ago on TV. On the closed captioning, if you're deaf, they switched out Taco Bell for Pizza Hut.
Really?
Yes.
No way.
Pizza Hut
yes.
must have been a sponsor for the TV
That's
version.
What I'm thinking.
There's a conspiracy there next
well,
week on.
So Pepsi owns KFC, Taco Bell, and
uh-huh.
Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
So they can really do whatever they want with it, but...
But it was funny because...
Or at least they do here in
They're obviously eating at a Taco Bell.
Well, I was looking for it, and they get to the destination... And it's fucking Taco Bell. And I'm like, why would they do that? That makes no sense
yeah.
to me whatsoever.
Deaf people can't see, obviously.
That's what I was saying. If I were deaf and I saw it, I'd be confused as hell. It's like, they've been talking about Pizza Hut. Why are they driving up to a Taco Bell? You know?
That's great. I wish I could have seen that. Okay, let's end this.
Okay.
We're done. See you later.
Adios,
Bye.
Muchacho.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our episode on Jeffrey Dahmer. We'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsor, LaFon Magazine. Go to LaFon.com and order issue number 6. Our friends from the last episode, the Rassel Nerds, have started their own podcast called The Derailers. It is available on iTunes. You should go check that out if you enjoyed them on our previous After Dark episode. And if you would, please don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes. We're also available on Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, and the Satchel app. Just search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Transpod. Also, please go follow our Facebook page. It is being updated more often now, so there will be content there. On Facebook, follow Secret Transmission Podcast. If you'd like to send us an email, it's secrettransmission@hotmail.com. We're part of the Dark Myths, which the Dark Myths is basically a podcast collective of all kinds of spooky and weird podcasts. So go to darkmyths.org and you can find us alongside some other wonderful, wonderful shows. So go try one. You can't pick one wrong, okay? I'd also like to add, if you are a cryptid fan or a fan of the paranormal, you should go sign up for the newest crate that's out there. It's catered for us, the fringe lovers, the paranormal lovers. It is called Cryptid Crate. Go to cryptidcrate.com and use the promo code Chupacabra88 and you can save a little bit. But that's going to do it for us. Until next week, we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
To say goodbye, Roger.
Hey, well, he needs to turn that down.
Gib!
Can you not hear it?
Turn it down!
Turn it down! Okay.
It was funny. We could find our child in Walmart earlier. I said, Gibson, what? Gib, what?
It'd just get louder and louder.
Toby ran into one of his friends. He's like, what are y'all doing? I was like, looking for our kid. I was like, but watch, we'll find him. Gibson, what? Fucking asshole.
next time you're in Walmart, just go, Gib, turn it down. Okay.
Okay. It's a butthole all the time. And he wants something from me. That's what was funny. It's looking for something to get off me.
Right.
Oh, I found the movie. What is on it? Pirate Bay, so I can download it.
I got that recorded.
Oh, got tired.
Well, don't. That's illegal. I'm going to go to jail right next to all the other serial killers.
Still recording, by the way.
I am still recording. I haven't stopped.
I'm tired.